The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. It's 8 a.m. on the first Sunday of February, 2019. If you missed any of our shows, you can look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Those are apps on your phone or your tablet where you can actually subscribe to all of our podcasts. So we make this show a podcast, as we do with Seniors Solutions and Real Estate Now. You can go and search us on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Listen anytime you want. Google Eric Stewart Group Radio if you want to listen through your phone or computer to hear us anytime you want. That's a great way to discover us as well. It's the early part of February. I can smell the spring market. In fact, I've already experienced some of it. We recently had one of our quiet listings go to contract. This is a property in Bethesda, Maryland that we put under contract. We were able to do so without it coming on the open market. Our client got a great price for their home. I mean, outstanding price for their home and very amenable terms. So it's an approach sometimes for our clients when they're getting their homes ready. They're not ready to sell yet. Maybe the house has got boxes. Maybe it hasn't been painted yet. But you'd like to catch the wind of the spring market without a sign, a lockbox, or the typical MLS listing and still get top dollar. We've got a unique approach at the Eric Stewart Group. For more information, contact us at ericstewartgroup.com or you can call us toll-free right now if you'd like to schedule an appointment to discuss that. That's 800-900-9104 toll-free. Gail Matthews, one of my favorite attorneys in the whole DMV, is just thankfully back on our show again. Gail, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Gail, I want you to just take a few minutes with us today. I consistently get questions from our listeners about titling real estate between tenants by the entirety or otherwise, and I'd like you to explain how should our listeners title their real estate?
Okay, Eric, you put your finger right on the problem. One of the most important tasks when you purchase real estate is how you're going to hold title, and not necessarily immediately, but long range. And there are very few real estate agents or the settlement mill employees understand the consequences of holding title the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You really should discuss this title issue with a competent real estate attorney. And the other thing I would say along with this, do not ever, ever try to do your own deed to save yourself $200 or $300. I just finished correcting one where the owner did the deed to him and his wife without adding tenants by the entirety with threat of survivorship, and also recorded the deed in the wrong jurisdiction.
Mm.
And it took us quite a bit and expense to get this straightened out. But anyway, normally we'll start off with a husband and wife. When you buy husband and wife buy a property, they normally take title as tenants by the entirety with common law right of survivorship. Now, the reason for this is that it immunizes the property from the debts of one person. So if the husband is a doctor and gets sued for multi-million dollars, they can't touch his house. But there's a downside to this problem, which we've seen more and more of lately, and that's the issue of incompetency. Most people think that a will or revocable trust is because of death, but the immediate reason it's good is because it cures the incompetency problem. If you have real estate that you own, husband and wife, and one of those parties becomes incompetent, you can't sell the property. Unless you go to court, you're going to have to go to court, spend $20,000 or $25,000 going through that procedure, which is going to take a long time. Then you're going to have to put the money in a trust for that incompetent party, and you can't touch it. And you're going to have to account to the court every year for the money that comes in and the money that goes out. But there's an easy way to fix that, and that's to do a revocable living trust. Now, with a revocable trust, simply what you're doing, you're transferring, setting up a trust, then you're transferring title to husband and wife as trustees for the trust. Now, that then you set each trustee is able to act so that if you do have the incompetency problem, one person can sell the property, one person can borrow money on the property. Now, I've seen this more and more as our society is getting older, and it's a real problem, and most people don't think about it that way. Now, that's with your property that you live in. Mm-hmm. There's another kind of property, and many of my clients have rental properties. Now, when you have a rental property and it has Fannie Mae mortgage on it, the only way you can hold it is in your own name. Now, if it's husband, now the worst thing that you can do is to have your wife as husband, have your home as tenants by the entirety, husband and wife, and buy your rental properties the same way. That way, if somebody gets hurt in the rental property, you've exposed all of your assets to that. So you always want to try to put your rental property in a different holding. And the best way to do it is to set up an LLC. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with the Fannie Mae mortgage, you can't do that. So what you would do with the Fannie Mae mortgage, let's say you've got the doctor who makes a lot of money and the wife who stays home and doesn't make any money, buy the property and put it in the wife's name. If something happens, she gets sued. She doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And the other great thing to this in Virginia and Maryland and I think D.C., is when you buy property, husband and wife, and you have a trust, don't put it in the trust right away. What you want to do is buy it as tenants by the entirety and then transfer it to the trust. That way you will retain the immunity from lawsuits for a problem caused by one of the parties. I think, I'm pretty sure D.C. has it, but I'm not completely familiar with that. Now, if you don't have any loan on your rental property, mm-hmm. it absolutely has to be in an LLC. In fact, many of my clients put each property in a separate LLC. They only cost $50 to keep them, pay your franchise tax each year. And once it's set up, it's a couple $100 to set it up, $50 a year, and it immunizes you from anything that happens in that property. We had a situation with an apartment, a building of 38 apartments, and one of the tenants had a 16-year-old babysitter come in to take care of a 1-year-old baby, put the baby in the bathtub, heard the phone ring, went in, and answered the phone as her boyfriend and talked on the phone while the hot water was running. Now, you have very little control over something of that nature, and a baby's skin is much more liable for burns. And there's a tremendous liability on that. That case was settled for $1 million, which I was surprised that it settled for that least amount of money. Mm-hmm. But the LLC, you could lose that property, but they can't come and get the rest of your property. And that's what we're trying to do, is separate your properties.
Okay. Now, owning a piece of real estate that has a mortgage on it that you're renting out, you can put that into an LLC?
No. You can if it's a bank. If you go into the bank, and if you go buy an apartment building, you're going to have to go to the bank or the insurance company. You can't go to Fannie Mae. But if you have a bank loan on it, you can generally arrange to put that into the LLC when you purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Fannie Mae loan, you can't. It has to be in individual names. So in that case, like I said, you put it in the name of the person who has the least assets.
Now, suppose one of our listeners has a property that they are using as a rental. There is a mortgage on the property. What do you consider the best way to protect themselves against something like you just described with that babysitter?
Well, a big umbrella policy.
A big umbrella policy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had one client had 11 rental homes, and he just had a lot of insurance. And one of those burn cases got settled in the District of Columbia for $10 million. They put the child into the bathtub, turned the water on, got burned.
Mm.
So there's a lot of money involved that could ruin you financially.
Right. So insurance is the way to cover it when there's mortgage. When there's no mortgage, title it into an LLC as
Correct.
A default, and that gives you a lot of protection. Again, it's just the unforeseen things. You know, those who are responsible for mistakes often have to pay for them. But as the owner of the property where a mistake happens, you don't want to have it come back to you just because you own the property. So protect yourself against that. If somebody has an accessory dwelling unit in their home, Same thing if they can't title it separately, but they would just buy a great big policy in case they have a rental, bedroom and bathroom and maybe a kitchen somewhere in the house.
Right, and I think the cheapest way to do the insurance is with something that everyone should have anyway, is an umbrella policy.
Right.
What an umbrella policy does, it comes in and picks up where your other insurance left off, so you can have a $5 million umbrella policy at very reasonable rates, mm-hmm. which will come in and pick up after your $1 million policy runs out.
Gail Matthews, if you want to reach Gail, you can find him at 703-241-8200. I'll repeat, that's 703-241-8200. You have questions about how to title your property, you want an expert, a master of real estate law, speak with Gail Matthews. He's in Falls Church, Virginia. 703-241-8200. And your website, Gail?
Yes, it's GailMatthews.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you go in and you just put in Falls Church Real Estate Lawyer, you'll come up with me.
Right, and it's G-A-Y-L-E, folks, Gail Matthews. Very good, Gail. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Certainly, Eric. Enjoyed it.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Two Crystal City transportation projects are tied to an Amazon deal. They're now set to win millions of dollars in state funds. So just as an FYI, this is going to provide a second entrance for the Crystal City Metro Station and another $6.5 million for an expansion of the Crystal City Potomac Yard Bus Rapid Transit System. This is just a part of the infrastructure that's coming into what we call now National Landing. County leaders have been hoping for years for what is about to happen. Montgomery County, it's gotten a lot pricier. More ahead here on the Pointing You Home Show. I'm Eric Stewart.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
So Montgomery County has definitely become a more diverse and pricier location. In 1987, when I entered the real estate business, parts of Montgomery County were, in fact, the majority of Montgomery County was white, predominantly over 70% of all of Olney and Damascus and areas going up to 70 were white. And that has flipped dramatically. In fact, since 1990, we've actually seen the dramatic increase in Hispanic. There's a Hispanic majority in about a third of all of Montgomery County now. There's also a black predominance as well in multiple areas that didn't previously have that. And now there's no predominant group in major sections of Montgomery County with just a few areas. Now, look, this is appropriate, and this is the nature of real estate. People buy real estate. Buyers buy real estate. You bought real estate because you wanted to get your kids into a school district or be in a proximity to transportation, shopping, or other amenities. The color of one's skin, it doesn't matter. As my broker, Charlie Llewellyn, taught me the first day I got into real estate, it doesn't matter who it is. All that matters is how much they'll pay, right? And what the terms are for your seller or your buyer. It comes down to that. Still, what we're seeing by this demographic shift, this spreading out and diversity within the county, is that the county has now really transformed over the past 30 years. Roughly 30 years have gone by, and in that period, overall, Montgomery County's age has also gotten older. From 33.9 years old in 1990 to 39 years old, so which is over a 5% increase in just a 30-year period. About 1 in 7 residents in Montgomery County are over 65 years of age. Since 1997, prices have ballooned nearly 40%, adjusting for inflation. And more residents now are renting, which is increasing from 32.1% of households rented in 1990 to 35% in 2016. Overall, though, wages have stagnated in Montgomery County, and I'm hopeful that the new county council will pay attention to this. The stagnation in wages, when adjusted for inflation, today's median household income of $99,000, it's just about the same as it was in 1989. Personally, I think forcing businesses to have to increase what they pay their employees, full-time employees, is the wrong way to get more money for the county residents. Why? Because, yes, it does insist that all people make $15 an hour, but then that reflects into everything else in a person's life who's working for 15 bucks as the cost of all goods and services go up, as businesses shutter, and those people are out of work and then don't have a job at all. So it's never proven to be a good idea, historically, from what I've read. Opinions always welcome here at the Eric Stewart Shows. Eric at ericstewartgroup.com. Let me know if you have an opinion. There are new apartments along Washington Boulevard in Virginia Square that are getting ready to take shape. This is a 1.7-acre parcel that's on Kirkwood Road, 1122 North Kirkwood. And it's at the intersection with Washington Boulevard. These are going to be two-bedroom, 255 two-bedroom, one-bedroom apartments on site. Any interest you have in making a move, you want information on what rental projects are coming out of the ground, go to ericstewartgroup.com. Reach out to one of our pros, one of our real estate agent pros at the Eric Stewart Group. We're licensed in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia with offices all over, and grateful to serve you.
I warned you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen, wouldn't pay me no mind, and I'm moving on.
Put a house on the market. Real quick, want to mention this. This is your downsizing kind of a house. This is the kind of house that you would move into if you were ready to give up the big house, but you still wanted to stay in like one-level living, but have a nice lot and so on. This is for $650,000 in Potomac, Maryland, in the Churchill School District. It's a beautiful four-bedroom single-family home. It's over 2,756 square feet on the inside. Many updates, 2.5 bathrooms, level walkout basement, beautiful deep yard, spacious carport, and so much more. 11810 Enid Drive. You can find it at ericstewartgroup.com. So major trends, the trends in the counties. I was looking at Fairfax County and Montgomery County, and I discovered some interesting strength in Montgomery County that even since the 2008 financial crisis, single-family housing market has really been very strong in Montgomery County. And Montgomery County's population has grown 38% from about 765,000 to over 1,050,000 in just 27 years. That's a dramatic increase. And so that the number of housing units has increased to afford those new residents of Montgomery to have a place to live. In Fairfax County, the trends in the demographics have also been excellent. We've seen, although we've seen prices go up every year. Look, the mean assessed value of a residential property in Fairfax County in 2013 was $450,000. The mean value today is just shy of $550,000. So in 6 years, we've seen almost a 22% increase in the mean assessed value of residential property, which is really because properties have risen in Fairfax County since the bottom of the Great Recession. But likewise, taxes have gone up. Oh, surprise, right? Average person paid $6,100 in tax. Now they're paying $7,100 in tax in Fairfax County. We're going to cover more trends, more information on Fairfax and Montgomery County on upcoming shows. Be sure to keep tuning in for more information. Dustin Fox, he's a real estate agent, and so he was interviewed about his coming soon marketing. Now, you've probably seen those signs that say coming soon, a property's coming to the market soon, and that's all you know. There's no information about the property, but the agent gets a little head start in getting your interest if you're looking for that neighborhood. Well, that's fine, but that's also limiting the dissemination of information. Okay, the strategy is to get the most money, right? We don't want to leave money on the table for our clients when we're real estate agents. So if you're going to sell it off the market, you need to be sure that the price represents what the probable upside would be if there was a competitive environment. I'll explain. I recently listed a home. We put it on the market, on the open market, for about $800,000, and we generated about five offers, and we ended up at $855,000 on the open market. In the quiet market, we were asking $820,000. Now, no one was interested, so it actually took going through what I call the quiet listing, getting to the open market, and we saw the price rise to a dramatic number higher. In other cases, we will list a property for well above where the market value is. We had one that was a $900,000 home, which we listed quietly for $950,000, and we were able to get a buyer to come into this property, make us an offer of $900,000, which made sense based on the comparables. We said, no, if we're going to sell now, you have to pay $950,000 if you want it. Guess what? The buyer wanted the house. They were willing to sacrifice $50,000 out of their pocket to get the location and also put to bed having to go through fighting for that property or other properties in the future. And frankly, that 950 number was really a great number. I don't think on the open market we would have gotten more than 920 or 925. So strategy for the quiet is important. How you can generate more offers on your home, that's the key to the quiet listing, especially when you're not ready or you've got a home to be sold in as-is condition. Real quick story, had a home that I listed that we could not bring any buyers into. Yes, truly a single-family home, bedrooms and baths. No one was allowed to go inside, and we were selling it for someone to buy and move into. Sound too far-fetched? I know. Look, I take on opportunities where they may lie. And like a doctor, you know, sometimes you need special kind of surgery for special kind of problems. And this was a case. We had a couple that were separated in their own home. One was living in the basement on one of those rollout metal cots from World War II, and the other one was living up in the attic. You know, he's busy smoking, she's smoking, and they're not talking. There's stuff everywhere, mounds everywhere in the house. We put it on the market. We had a tough time convincing buyers they should put an offer in even though they hadn't seen the property. Really? You want me to make an offer and I haven't seen what the inside is? I said, yes. Once you have a ratified contract, you can do an inspection. If you don't like it, you can bail. We sold the house. The buyer bought the property. We explained to them, as far as I'm concerned, I am responsible to disclose what I know and what I should know, and I could tell that there was no substantial major defects with the home in spite of the fact that it stunk like smoke, had ash everywhere, and there was big piles of laundry in every room. Okay? We sold the property. We got it done. That is also a unique opportunity. In any case, anything can happen in real estate. If you've got a unique sale, you want help, call us at the Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster. Our toll-free is 800-900-9104. Stand by for Senior Solutions coming up next.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.